The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. Let's continue through the series of programs we are currently putting together about the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. If you'll take your Bible and turn with me over to Galatians 5, verse 22, we'll read about these fruits. Galatians 5 and verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on." We've already done one program on love and another one on joy, and now today we're going to cover peace in this program. Peace is one of the great fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's the third one. As we're going through this subject, you need to ask yourself, do you have God's Spirit? How can you know one way or another whether or not you have God's Spirit? How can you know whether or not anyone has God's Spirit? Can you tell? Can you tell by appearance? Can you tell by words? How can you tell whether or not God's Spirit is in an individual or in you? The Bible makes it plain the way we can do that. Let's go over here to Matthew chapter 7. In the words of Jesus Christ, as a matter of fact, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16. "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" And the subject matter here is false prophets. And the way you can delineate between false prophets and true prophets, false ministers and true ministers, false Christians and true Christians, is by the fruits. "You shall know them by their fruits," he said in verse 16. "Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Evil fruit, bad fruit, rotten fruit. "Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." A good tree is going to bring forth good fruit, a healthy tree. An unhealthy tree, a corrupt bad tree, is going to bring forth bad fruit. That tree is cut down and gotten out of the way. The good tree is pruned and it'll bring forth more fruit. But the way you can tell what kind of tree it is, apple tree, peach tree, orange tree, grapefruit tree, is by the fruits. And the way you can tell whether or not an individual is a Christian who has God's Holy Spirit leading them and in them is by the fruits they bear in their lives. And what are those fruits? We just read them. The fruits of the Spirit. And the one we're going through today is the third fruit, which is the fruit of peace. That's how you can tell whether or not you have God's Spirit or whether or not someone else does. Do the fruits of the Spirit blossom in your life, in their life, in the life of the minister that you might be listening to? These fruits are unmistakable. Love, joy, peace. Today we're talking about peace. This is something the whole world longs for, lasting peace. It seems like every day we hear about wars and more wars and violence and death and turmoil here and there and everywhere on this earth. Here and there and everywhere in our country almost, in various cities. Violence, mayhem, anarchy. No lasting peace all over the earth, which is what we would all like to see. Also, this is something every individual desperately needs and wants in our individual everyday lives. Peace of mind, peace in our home and family, peace in every aspect of life as a whole. But how can we have this godly, lasting, wonderful peace? Peace that brings relief and rest and relaxation, freedom from tension and worry and stress. It sounds good, but is it possible to live life filled with that kind of peace and harmony? It seems like it's impossible, but it's not. Not only is it possible, it's available if we will only look into God's Word, listen to what God says, and then do what He says. We can have this kind of peace. We have to look to God. We have to yield to Him. And He will give us peace that passes description, that passes understanding. It'll be so wonderful. Let's read about that over here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. It very plainly shows us that He will give us such peace that it will be so great that it'll just almost defy description. It says here in Philippians 4 and verse 7, and the peace of God, and that's the kind we want. We don't want the kind of peace the world gives. We don't want the kind of peace man gives. That's not real peace. That may be a cessation of hostilities. That might be quietness before the storm or before anarchy. That might be a mutual standoff. We want something better than that. We want lasting, deep, wonderful, godly peace, the kind that God will give. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, that's the kind of peace every Christian can and should have, and will have, if we have God's Spirit. And we can help others have it by sharing that fruit of peace with them, because we're serving God, and He's the God of peace, and He will give us that peace. We're walking with Him. We're yielding to Him. We're submitting to Him. We're worshiping Him. We're obeying Him. We're glorifying Him. We're letting our light shine before Him and representing Him as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're not pushing ourselves on others. We're not browbeating or cornering or pestering or being obnoxious. We're setting the example of Christianity. We're kind. We're friendly. We're warm. We're caring. We're easy to talk to. We try to do the right thing. We try to be a good neighbor, a good friend. We try to do our part in our marriage and in our home and our family and on our job and on the road and wherever we are to do the peaceful thing, the right thing, the unselfish thing, because we're Christians. We're trying to be like Christ. Notice Philippians here, chapter 4 and verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, do that. We have to do our part. Do that, and notice this, the God of peace shall be with you. I want the God of peace with me, and I want Him to be with you, and He can and He will be if we'll submit to Him and yield to Him and get out of the way and draw near to Him. He'll draw near to us, and that will bring wonderful blessings. And one of the blessings it'll bring is peace that passes all understanding. As we serve the great God from the heart, He will give us this kind of peace. You see, not only is He the God of peace, Jesus Christ is the King of peace. And together, they will pour out their love and their joy and their peace on us through the power of the Holy Spirit, which will then flow from us out to others. And we will be peacemakers. We will promote peace. We will be examples of peace. Oh, we'll be full of fun and joy and animation and activity and action. Busy, accomplishing, going, doing, but doing it all with an attitude of peace, not hostility, not creating tensions, confrontations, not getting even, not instigating trouble. Spreading peace wherever we go, tranquility, calmness, relaxation, caring and giving. It's all wrapped up in one big, wonderful benefit and one big, wonderful combination of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, of true Christianity. You'll find peace there. In a true Christian's life, it's very, very important to any true Christian to be peaceful and to have peace and to share peace. Jesus Christ is the King of peace. The Holy Father in heaven is the God of peace. The Bible says so. Let's just turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7 and verse 2. Talks about Melchizedek here in this chapter, and it's really Jesus Christ of the Old Testament. That's who Melchizedek is. And it says in verse 2 of Hebrews 7, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, well, that's Jesus Christ, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, that's also Jesus Christ, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. That can only be the one who later became Jesus Christ. He was the God of the Old Testament, and he was this Melchizedek, king of Salem, which is king of peace and king of righteousness. You know, you'll find that righteousness and peace go together. It says here in verse 2, Jesus Christ was the king of righteousness and the king of peace. They go hand in hand. I'll show you right here in Psalms how that works. Let's notice Psalms 119 and verse 165. David talked about peace a lot. He also talked about righteousness. And as we put together a couple of verses here, we'll see that they go hand in hand. Psalms 119, verse 165, how could it be any plainer than this? Great peace, not just peace, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, if we really love God's Ten Commandments, and with his help we try to keep them, we're going to have great peace. That's the law of love. That's the law of joy. That's the law of peace. We're going to have great peace if we keep all 10 of those commandments with God's help. That's what it says right here. That's the law. God inspired this. How can we get around it? Great peace have they which love thy law. Really love it. Embrace it. Talk about it. Think about it. Study it and keep it. And nothing shall offend them. But I want you to notice how righteousness fits hand in glove with that. Psalms 119, verse 172. David said this, 119, verse 172 of Psalms, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. All your commandments are righteousness. So as we love God's law, we love righteousness. And therefore we have peace. Righteousness and peace, they fit together like a hand in a glove. But you know, we're not going to be able to have peace by going our own way and doing our own thing. We're not going to really have great peace by occasionally thinking about God and giving him a little time here and a little time there. And maybe just show up at church and then quote a scripture or two and smile and carry a little old lady home on the way to our home. All that's well and good if it's the true church and if we are sincere. But that's not enough. We have to live God's way day in and day out and not live the way of this world and not live our own way. We've got to forsake all of that and surrender to God and in essence have this attitude, Lord, what will you have me do? And the answer is right in the Bible. Here's what God wants us to do. He wants us to repent and yield to him and serve him and obey him and love and serve others, and follow Jesus Christ, and he'll bless that. He wants us to keep his law with his help. I mean, that's so plain over here in Ecclesiastes. Here's a scripture in the Bible, inspired by God, and answers the question, well, what do I do? What do you want me to do? Well, God tells us right here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, which means love God, stand in awe of God, and keep his commandments, the law, for this is the whole duty of man. This is man's all. And as we do that, we're going to have great peace. We're going to have more and more of God's Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, and we're going to share those fruits with others who will then benefit from all of the fruits that God bears in our life. We share them. We share the love. We share the joy. We share the peace that flows from God through us out to others by the power of his Holy Spirit. But that'll never happen if we insist on having our own way and going our own way and living the world's way, following the world's way of doing business. That just brings turmoil. It brings upset. It brings competition. It brings violence and hard feeling and misunderstanding. It begins to show up in families and in communities and among nations. That's why nations are at one another all the time with accusations and incursions and even battles and outright war. It's because they want things done their way. And if you won't agree, then they'll attack. Or if they won't agree as a nation, then that nation will attack, and so on. And it's true at the human level, just individually. I want it my way. And if you won't do it my way or let me do my way, you're going to pay big time, and it's probably going to involve violence. That's not Christianity in action. That's not God's way, and that will not bring about lasting peace. But that's why we do not have lasting peace and stability and harmony and tranquility in this world today. Nobody wants to do it God's way. Only a few here or there. Rather, they want to do it their way. They want to do it the way they think it ought to be done, living life, settling problems, solving things, reaching solutions. And that doesn't work. Let's notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3. How often have we heard about attempts to have peace in the Middle East? Every president of the United States sends his Secretary of State over there, okay, this time we're going to have a peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. So let's all get around a table and sit down and start talking, and we'll have a peace accord, and everybody will live happily ever after, side by side. I can't even tell you the number of times I've heard that kind of proclamation in my lifetime, and so have you. But it never happens. It always falls apart because they try to reach a peace agreement man's way, not God's way. And the Palestinian version of peace is different to the Israeli version of peace, and vice versa. So peace never lasts. Peace never comes. Oh, they may have a ceasefire, but no lasting peace. But it's not just in the Middle East. It's in other places as well. But in our homes and in our families, it doesn't have to be that way. And in our church, it doesn't have to be that way. If we really are practicing Christians led by God through His Holy Spirit, we'll have peace because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. But it's not the fruit of this world and the world's way of doing things. Notice here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Peace and safety. We've got an accord. We've got a peace agreement. We've got it on paper. And then it falls apart, and here we are. Hostilities break out again. There must be a better way of living. There must be a better way of handling things among nations and in individual lives. And there is. And it's found right here in the Bible. And it has to do with living God's way of life. And that brings peace. And only that will bring peace. Notice here in John chapter 16, who's willing to do it that way? Not very many. But if you are, you can have this wonderful blessing of peace that passes all understanding. But you've got to be willing to do your part, just like I have to as well. We want to be Christians, but real Christians. Real disciples of Jesus Christ. Emulating Him and following His example. Notice here in John 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Isn't that wonderful? In the world you shall have tribulation and trouble. That's what that means. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and therefore I'll help you overcome the world and have peace. Because in me you will have peace. How and why? Well, real peace comes from Christ. Even when we are surrounded by strife and trouble and turmoil, in the middle of all that strife and trouble and turmoil, we can have peace in our lives and peace internally and peace of mind. Because we are trying to follow Jesus Christ and we're trying to obey God through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that fruit of peace will be born in abundance. That's a promise. Christ said so. In me, you will have peace. John 16, verse 33. And notice what he says over here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, in the Beatitudes. These are wonderful principles laid out here in Matthew chapter 5 and on, through 6 and 7 and so on. But just notice here, isn't this wonderful? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemakers. Do you know you can be a peacemaker? So many people today are troublemakers. They're not peacemakers. They like to see trouble. They like to see people fight. You ever notice what an industry fighting is? It's a huge industry today, multi-billion dollar industry. And it's just horrible where people just beat up on one another at the cheering and yelling of a crowd that's paid big money to sit there and watch it. Ultimate fighting, boxing, and on it goes. Violence, blood and guts and all kinds of stuff flying everywhere. In hockey, it's not a real good game unless there's just fighting and fighting on the ice. People just love to see that violence and blood and hate and crunching and smashing and kicking and elbowing and beating and biting and everything else. Yeah, boy, we got our money's worth here. That is not God's way. How is that being a peacemaker? How is nagging somebody to fight being a peacemaker? It's not. Talking about somebody to their back, and then they hear about it, and you confront them, and they confront you, and then there's a big fight. That's not being a peacemaker. Lying in order to make somebody mad at somebody else. People do that all the time. They're instigators. They're not peacemakers. They're troublemakers. And I'll tell you what. Chickens are going to come home to roost to them. It's going to come back on their head. They're breaking God's law, and they'll pay the penalty. What he wants us to do, though, is not only have peace, but to be peacemakers, to spread the peace around. You know, we can make a big difference in that department by our example and by our action. We can think peace and calmness and respect and promote peace and spread the fruit of peace around and share that fruit with everybody. What a blessing we can be to others. And what pleasure that will give our Creator God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But we have to do our part, and he'll help us do our part. Let's notice 1 Peter chapter 3. The Bible's so clear about this wonderful subject of peace. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Look what he says we can do. And this is available to us if we'll listen and heed. Verse 10 of 1 Peter 3. For he that will love life and see good days. Don't you want to do that? I want to do that, and I want you to do that. I want everybody to do that. Very few people will do what's necessary to have that. But you know, you can be one of those people, and I hope I am. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile, no deceit. Let him shew evil. Let him hate evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it or pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Do you reject evil? And do you seek peace and pursue it like you're on a hunt for something? I hope so. If you do that, you're going to find peace. And if I do that, and we'll be peacemakers, and what a big difference we can make in that area and in that particular aspect of life. Now let's notice Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 18. Here's what God tells us to do. Are we willing to do this? Will we go out of our way to find ways to do this? Will we give a little ground? Will we stay silent? Will we give a soft answer to turn away wrath? Or will we pick and nettle and nag? And first thing you know, there's blood and trouble. I hope we're not that way. It says here in Romans 12 and verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Try your best. I know sometimes there's just evil people, bullies, and troublemakers, and no matter what you do, they're still going to be a troublemaker. They're not going to change. They're still going to just be mean and hateful, and you may have to just, in that case, go ahead and move out of the neighborhood. and go your way and steer clear of people like that. But generally speaking, if you are a peacemaker, and if you seek peace and you pursue it, and you promote it, and you do whatever you can reasonably do without being a throw rug, of course, but you do whatever you can reasonably do to have peace with your neighbors, God will help you, and generally speaking, you'll be able to do that, and you can live life that way. You can cultivate peace in your neighborhood, or at work, or in your family, and in your life. And you won't be picking and agitating and provoking others to retaliation. Rather, you'll be respecting and caring and serving and helping them and setting an example of peace through the power of God's Holy Spirit working in your life and bearing that fruit. As we grow in God's way of life, peace settles in and takes root. The Holy Spirit gets stirred up, and along with that comes a surge of the fruit of peace, a bumper crop. This is real. This is powerful. And it's available to you and to me. God wants us to have it. He wants us to have this kind of peace. So does Jesus Christ. Just look what he says here in John 14 and verse 27. What a reassuring verse in the Bible. John 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Relax. Calm down. Be at peace. Because you know why? I'm leaving my peace with you. It's different to the world's peace. They have their own brand of peace, which is not really peace, ultimately. But the peace God gives and the peace Jesus Christ leaves with us is peace through and through. And it's deep, wonderful, lasting peace. And he says here, I'm leaving that peace with you. I'm giving it to you. Don't be troubled. And he gives it to us through his Spirit, dwelling and thriving in us on a day-by-day basis. It's real. It's available. Let's seek it. Let's ask for it. Let's pursue it. Let's promote it. Let's cultivate it with God's help. I want to conclude by turning to Isaiah chapter 32. My wife and I just thoroughly enjoy this verse. We talk about it often, this passage. We read it. And frankly, we're experiencing it, and you can too. And you can just like we do, and it's just a wonderful way of life. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17, just look at this. Isn't this a great description? Just imagine this. This is how your life can be. Your life can be like this for you and yours, and you can help others live life this way also. Isaiah 32 verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. See how righteousness and peace goes together? And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Secure dwellings is the meaning there. Doesn't that paint a beautiful, wonderful picture? Well, that's not a pipe dream. That's not a fantasy. That's literal. That's the kind of life we can have. Peaceful, quietness, assurance, security, and resting places. All bound up and wrapped up in the fruit of God's Holy Spirit called peace. If you want it, if you ask for it, if you pursue it, and you look to God to bring it about in your life, He will, and you'll have peace that passes all understanding. I want to ask you to request our free CDs on peace. We have one entitled Peace at Last, and we have another one entitled Peace in Perilous Times. We'll send you these CDs by return mail, free of charge. There's no obligation. All of our material is free with no strings attached. All you have to do is call 1-800-581-1317, 1-800-581-1317, and ask for our CDs on peace. And while you're making your request, ask for our free magazine, Straightforward. Don't miss out on this publication. You will love receiving this magazine. It's free. You'll never have to pay any subscription price whatsoever. Ask for our magazine, Straightforward, by calling 1-800-581-1317 and letting us know about your request. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org and request this material there. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.